Hello and welcome to Infamous, the audio podcast. This is Brandon, or Mutilus, on Discord.
This is Parker, go by One Who Parks on Discord.
This is Jeremy, I go by Just Jeremy on Discord, hashtag, am I really going to play Web Warriors?
This is Aaron, I go by Treffenwood on Discord.
All right, Jeremy, I need clarification. Are you going to play Web Warriors like in timelines, or you're going to play Web Warriors?
I'm going to play Web Warriors.
Oof. He's making this sound like he was asked to or forced to.
Jeremy, I have serious concerns for your physical well-being. You're gonna like scrub your skin off in the shower trying to get clean.
I know.
Did you? I didn't ask you because we were just okay. So
he wants to win
on our Jeremy's on my team, and we were just I proposed a list for myself. One of the Muse guys, Colin, is on our team. He proposed the list, and he picked X-Men, and he just did like almost pure X-Men. I don't know if there were anything else.
Yeah.
I did my Wakanda list, which does have a smattering of other stuff, but nothing like, you know, definitely couldn't take all the meta with it. And then, Jeremy, you jumped on Web Warriors, and that surprised me. I didn't want to argue with you because you wanted to, but you sound now pained to do it. Did you not want to, or are you really interested in doing it?
Couple things. Number one, I haven't played them in years. Number two, you guys have the weirdest conglomeration of shit that you guys are going to use. And all of the WebWare stuff was basically free. And I would like us to win more games than we lose. We don't have a wide version. And I think that I had to either do Webs or Emma, and I will not play Emma. I'll kill myself first.
What?
So Parker, it seems like he said he doesn't. He's not counting on you to win your games. That's
well,
what I heard.
Parker,
no,
Parker,
we can do whatever.
We're an all-inclusive podcast. You can't shame people for their decisions.
Yeah, quit shaming.
Stop
me.
Stop being mean.
To be fair, I didn't want to try to argue with you through direct message. But when you said we need a wide team,
so instead we're going to do it.
On the podcast, because it's great content. When you said we need a wide team, neither of us are playing a character above 5 points. Like, so that's 20. You know,
doesn't mean you have a wide team just because you have a low point average. Like, it's all about number of models you plan on fielding, right?
Right.
It's average point cost in squad, not in roster.
Sure.
It's like you could have a bunch of fours. And, like, you're not a wide list.
Right. So both of us, I think, have 3 fours, and then mostly 2s and 3s. Let me look at his list again.
But how many 4s are you planning on playing in your games? If you're planning on putting 2 4s and a 5 down, like, you can throw wide out the window. Like, wide, you're usually at most getting 1 4, very rarely getting 2, but you're selling out everywhere else.
So he's playing Professor X, X-Men, yeah. And there are more 4s, so we can expect him probably to play... You know, at least 2 4s, maybe even 3. So that I see your point. But I guess what I'm saying is, when you saw our list, did you went, oh man, these guys are going, you know, 3 or 4 characters, so I need to play 5 or 6 characters? Is that why you wanted to switch to a wider list? Or did you just like look at our factions and go, these factions don't really go wide, so I'm going to pick a faction that likes to spread out?
You guys are playing lists that I think are probably 4 to 5 models wide, and there isn't a lot of way for you all to play. And also scenarios, did you see what you all skipped? Like all the Fs and all the Ds. So all the missions that were left, like I didn't really have a lot of choice, or I was going to make you guys scramble everything up. Because the scenarios are ridiculous when it comes to like what I was allowed to use or left with. So in order to use what I was left with and to be very strong, I'm like, okay, so I'll take these go wide missions. And I also have a shitload of displacement and stuff that you all don't have. So it's fine. I just haven't done it in a long time, and which makes it interesting for me. But that's what I meant. Like you guys weren't going naturally wide, which that means you're playing an F. You're playing Ds, you're playing long moving models. I think both of you are playing, I mean, interesting and good lists. That's fine. I'm not saying they're not. But I mean, there isn't a list that has like Malekith, Immortal Hulk, like nothing like that is in there. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, you're not going down the center so much. So you both are playing what I would consider almost fair lists. And I think between us both, us all three, I'm like, well, what's the best thing to do here? And Web Warriors are the strongest, I feel, with what was left.
I mean, there's a strong argument that webs are the top list anyway, let alone when you're combining it with, you know, model sharing in two other rosters. So, like, I don't think there's a strong argument against that.
I actually expected you to go for Guardians. I was actually expecting that. After seeing what our lists were and knowing what you have enjoyed playing, Guardians love a D. And
yeah, but they do the, like, F extracts. Did you leave him enough low-scoring extracts?
There
Niente. Are...
No, there are not that many low scores.
I say there's only four left after you guys build your squads. So, right.
So
and the if thing you gave him like paranoia senators cubes, like that's out.
No, so like again, it really matched up with what was left, mm-hmm. and it's already super strong. And I haven't played it in a long time, so it makes it interesting for me. I might do horrible, but it's interesting.
I appreciate you finally deciding to become one of us.
One of us.
One of us. I can't wait for him to play like two games and go, it's like, what have I been doing this whole time? I could have been playing webs.
I was I said nothing positive or negative in the message chat because I assumed that, okay, this guy's in charge of his fate.
Call him out to his face.
He wants to do this. No, I was going to say a damn thing until he said, oh my God, I'm going to have to play webs. And I went, have to?
Maybe we can go back to the videotape. Oh, he's just being an internet drama queen. Don't worry about him.
Okay.
Show up on Saturday with the hammer.
I don't know about all that.
Jeremy, I think you know me better than to know I never play anything fair. This shit I have cooked up is so
it slaps, bananas, as the kids say.
Yeah, it is bananas.
Okay, good.
What are you playing?
I'm playing Otakonda lists. That is an evolution of the list I played last week because I decided it doesn't attack early enough.
The official term is called crutching, but yeah.
I just wanted to play something. I enjoy high tempo list, and this is the highest of tempo lists, and so I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, crutch on broken ass tactics cards. I get it.
Yeah. Yes. I play three tactics cards on my first round, like every game. I'm playing the rest of the game with two tactics cards. And it's really, really good. It's better than all of your tactics cards. So I'm excited.
Yeah. All right, Aaron, what are you playing in the team tournament?
I'm playing Sentinels.
Sentinels, huh?
Yep.
Was there a big competition for Sentinels on your team?
We're actually each taking one Sentinel model.
You guys are pieces of shit. Your mockery of a game that kings have played. Kings and queens.
Kings. Charlemagne.
Lands have been broken up by this game, and you have made a mockery of it, sir.
Aaron, I will accept a bribe to pair you against Jeremy turn one. Just so you can show the little web people how you move people around with toe cables.
That's right. Move me now, spectacular spider bitch.
Mm-hmm. Any fun splashes in your Sentinels list?
Oh, I'm kidding. I won't be there on Saturday.
Oh, damn it. Let me check registration. I thought you were on here. Fine.
I will be enjoying the ye olde game of Blood Bowl.
This is a Omaha tournament?
Yes. Lincoln, but close enough.
Lincoln. I've been to Lincoln before.
Yeah. But if I was playing, we would each be taking a Sentinel model.
It'd be
Sentinels, Criminals, and Guardians. Y'all be getting wrecked.
I'm curious if with the current meta shift, if there's any value in just going like pants on head silly and running like Malekith CGR. Just like, still don't care. Like, just gonna run at you.
You can get
that's all I could sit here and think about the whole time. I was like, well, if everyone's just like, they've given up on going like competing for the attrition and they're just gonna try and score it out. Like, yeah, I can get like a decent mission pull. I wonder how this will go.
Do you have to run both of them, or can you run one or the other?
I mean, you'll have to play them both, but I'd probably put them both in the roster. I've always loved Malekith's leadership. It's so fun to use. And so you also have access to Red Skull at that point, and Red Skull gives you another contesting model that you don't mind losing. It also is really good about holding like the center for you. And then you can use Black Bifrost to just drop him wherever you want. You also have access to MODOK and Hulk.
It's just unfortunate how he's gone on turn three now.
Yeah, but I mean, if they're doing, scenario sellout, then maybe he's not.
I find every model kills him pretty good now.
Well, I think that's yours, which is like a little magnet. And so it just pulls all the like broken pieces of metal and knives and just pulls them into one point inside of him.
Mine was always sexually attracted to damage. Yeah.
It's so aroused.
It was aroused by damage. Yeah.
I mean, there's no question he's squishy, like compared to like what a 7-point model probably should be.
So Colin is actually saying he's getting work out of Xavier. Is that a possibility?
I mean, I imagine everyone's playing him. He's like a very pushed model, in my opinion. I never was very impressed with his kit, so like hearing that he's like doing work is a little surprising.
Now, if somebody tells me that Professor Xavier themselves are like making a really important impact, then I would say, maybe. I think it's a bit of like new character syndrome. People don't know what he does exactly or how to counter him, and so they probably walk into his thing. But his leadership is just, it's kind of like Steve 1, where you just have tons of different applications every time you think about a new application, there's a new application. I went down the rabbit hole one day and I was like, wow, there's a lot of shit you could do with this. There's just tons of stuff you can do. He is like a budget Cassandra Nova with a moderately good team buff. Only moderately good because he himself is not like a power broker. He doesn't have a ton of power on him.
He does have the world's fastest chair.
He does have that.
Have you seen Xavier played, Aaron? Like, you see stuff online. Yeah.
Money.
I have seen Xavier played, yes. I played against him once. The turn one was very eye-opening. It was locally who I just played against him.
So Cassius?
With CJ or Zach.
Okay.
CJ or Zach?
I can't remember who played it.
Zach wears the hat.
I know who they are. I can't fucking remember which one played.
Well, you didn't specify.
He's the white guy.
What? Zach is the one that's always late.
The turn one was really nice. Like, turning everything on, I'm like, okay, that was pretty cool. To be honest, nothing different than Steve 1, right? For the most part, other than you can give the power to whoever you want.
Being able to effectively go to zero cost is pretty cool. I mean, it's arguably just better, right?
Other than
I guess you need enough power to actually use the ability you're trying to use. That's the big difference.
It's a chain, right? As opposed to I just have it to begin with.
Okay, go ahead.
I was gonna say, so I was really intrigued, and then as soon as we played that game, I went like on the drive home. I created my own Professor X list that I have yet to take out. I really think it's more intriguing than good, but I'm still intrigued to give it a whirl. How about that?
What I found when I built for it is you need something to start the chain going. And so as long as that model that starts the chain going is not a liability to your list, then it feels really good. But as soon as you're like, well, I need to take Nightcrawler or Magic in Faction to spend one power, or Cable to spend, two power to start the chain of effects. As soon as you say, like, well, okay, I have to take one of them, then that better be the model you also want. Because if you're just taking one of those models to start that, it probably isn't good enough, I think. But if you already are planning on specifically using Nightcrawler or Magic or Cable in affiliation, if you're taking out of affiliation, then like Wong is fantastic efficiency because you can, he can pass somebody a power and then immediately pass somebody a power. So Wong just double passes on turn one, which is really easy to do. So that's like the most efficient way to start his powertrain, because then somebody gets +2 power and you're only spending a 2-coster. But again, then you go, okay, I need a reason to have Wong. And if it's just to do this, is that good enough? So I think the answer is Wong, if you also have something Wong can do, like sit on a back point or something. But
I mean, Wong is great, and Cable's ability to body slide, pick up a point with first class, and go somewhere else is also super good. So either CJ or Zach's turn one did not in any way, shape, or form feel bad. The question is, what does turns two through five look like? Like, hey, you picked six people that all get to pass power on turn one. Okay, yay. Again, is Beast and Shadowcat and Cable and Wong and Professor X a good enough list to hold on to the shit they picked up and survive slash kill? That's where it all comes down to what's the right model mix between enabling a good turn one and having a good turn two through four. And I don't know. I'm not there yet. I haven't played it at all. And I'm not sure the internet is there yet, but I think that's where we need to go.
Right now, I think the solution is kind of... I was talking to Aaron at DevCon about this. I think a lot of people are going towards kind of like a mix of offensive models and controlling models, like Beast and Cable. I think it's actually the opposite. I think you just go straight control or straight offense. Kind of like... It plays very similarly to Steve 3's Avenger list, where you're like, I'm just going to play everybody who has a wild push effect or a wild throw effect or something that controls my wilds, or I'm going to see a whole bunch of people who really double down on wild damage effects. And then, like, those are the two ways, I think, to go. And I think anybody who's trying to blend them is probably going to feel like they don't have enough punch or they don't have enough control. But anybody who's willing to just go all in, I think that should work, right? Like, if you played Gwyn and Wong and Beast, Professor Xavier, and probably Magic, just to make it cheap, and Magic can use... she has a once-per-game effect with her Tactics card, Limbo. So, like, that right there is five characters that all of them are just going to be super control-y the whole game and always have the power to use their stuff. But is that as good as any other controlling list in the game? I don't know.
I mean, Hellfire gives you power of return and heals.
Right.
But yeah. But then you don't get to play with a cool wheelchair.
That's true. You have to play slow models, like the ones with legs.
Yeah.
He doesn't run. He glides.
I saw some people talking about online. Do we know if they're going to add the new release models to the timelines list as the event or the year goes on? Or is the timeline list locked?
No one knows.
No one knows.
I mean, I do, but I can't tell.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, my NDAs.
Didn't they add stuff to it? Like, they've adjusted it a little bit.
They fixed some fuck-ups week one, but that was it.
Oh, okay.
The Spider Foes would be the first release that actually comes out after Adepticon. So we should know in about... Are they May? Are they next month?
I think they're May. It's about a month.
Yeah, so we'll know in a month. Ugh.
Are there even any timeline events before then?
To my knowledge, there are no timeline events ever after Adepticon.
It's just next Adepticon.
Yeah.
It's good that we put all this work in for a 50-person tournament.
Yeah.
As much as I enjoy timelines, I just want the forgotten alternate format back. I just want... That was something I thought of as soon as I found out this is a team tournament coming up for our local one. I was like, man... I want to draft again. That was so much fun.
The Battle Realms?
Yeah, I want Battle Realms.
There's Battle Realms at Show Me.
Oh, that's awesome. Then I will be there. I want to go to there. Battle Realms is the best. I don't even need that right now. Like, I don't need Battle Realms to enjoy this game. I just like it so much.
I think it's a fun format.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh.
It's even more fun without CGR in the mix. So you don't have to ban the same model every round.
I was going to say, it would be even more fun would be a team snake draft.
Team snake draft for the whole game?
Like, you do the teams, like we're all doing now, but you put all 139 models, or 50 models, whatever they are, and you go 1 through 6, and then 6 through 1, and you just snake it back and forth until all 6 members have their 10... or 12-person roster, whatever you decide it needs to be.
What, and then they...
And then you play ABC 3 rounds, just like you're doing in the team tournament on Saturday.
You just do round robin?
No. Like, your team of 3 would then have a certain number of, you know... You play
Swiss. So do you redraft every round?
No. You take your teams,
Okay, so you're only drafting against another team.
Correct.
But you're playing other teams that will have the same models as you later?
Potentially, yeah. But you both went through the same draft process. Because right now, a lot of the... when you're doing a team tournament, you're trying to figure out, you're tweaking your list because you can't have X model, but what if you put in Y model instead? And should you play, you know, this affiliation or that affiliation, kind of like Jeremy's doing? What if you didn't get all of that nitinoid prep? You're just like, well, these are the 10 models I ended up with after of the all of the models in the game. We collectively as a 6-person quasi team, quasi enemy, you know, ended up with, you know, these. And I might even go like 12 models for a roster just to expand it a little bit. I just think it'd be interesting with your teammates not taking models that you want to help you out, and then your opponents taking models specifically to hurt you. And obviously you would be interspersed, like of this 1 through 6, it'd be team A, B, A, B, A. So
I think if you were going to do this, you would almost do it as like a heads up exhibition where it's like you would get a team of 3. We would do the draft, and then you just round robin versus all 3 enemy team members.
You could do it, too.
And then you just do final record at the end.
I don't see it.
3 rounds of 3 games.
Yeah.
Well, it's just, it fixes the problem of like you start mixing pools of drafting after you draft.
Sure.
Because then you end up with weird stuff. Obviously, each individual team wouldn't have access to duplicates, but
right.
I was just thinking now while you were talking about though, what if we did like an 8-person Battle Realms draft where you draft the models and then you go play Battle Realms games after.
I don't think you have to Battle Realms it. I think you just, if you only had that limited selection, you
I mean,
just
that's
play
just
the games.
Character draft. That already exists.
It was fine. A limited pool of models. I was thinking that would be cool if you showed up and, you know, there's only 50 models available and, you know, you draft out of that, like, each time. That would be sweet.
It's just really hard to do multiple... It's hard to do a draft with multiple people involved and then also limited on top.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or we could just play Battle Realms and I'll have fun. Let's do that.
You're the only one having fun in Battle Realms.
Why? I don't understand.
Nobody else wants to do it. Just you.
I know. I don't get
it. No, I think a lot of people like Battle Realms.
No, they don't.
Why don't you like Battle Realms?
Because
you got like Thanos repeatedly or what?
Starts with the letter B.
Okay.
Battle Realms.
I mean, I can respect you just hating it because Parker likes it. That's generally how I work.
I mean, do I need more? I mean, that's
no,
enough.
You don't. That's fine.
I just realized you actually do hate everything that starts with the letter B. Battle Realms, bread, butter, and butt sex.
Brandon.
And
see?
Also all
brands. It works. It works.
Speaking of, what day of the week is it? I'm brain dead. Mondays. Mondays have been weird because we have 3 Brandons in the store on Mondays. It's very odd.
Do you like use pseudonyms or do y'all just yell Brandon at each other?
I don't know what they do. I'm Brandon though. They have to figure something else out.
Yeah, we hired a new pile of employees at work and all of them are named Abby. So we have the Abbeys, which is its own collective now. It's really silly. And
you just hired like 3 people named Abby?
There's 4 of them. Like there's
oh
3.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. They hired like 3 housekeepers and then I have my server. Like it's a total mess. We're at stand up every morning and the collective of Abbeys gathers. And they're on their own little text list and they do their own things. I'm like, you guys... Names are not that important. I'm not sure what's happening here, but you guys.
That's funny.
But yeah, you have a gaggle of Brandons.
Yeah. A murder of Brandons.
Something like that, yeah.
My daughter actively wishes we had named her Drist.
The legend of?
She didn't comment on the middle name, but yes.
Okay.
Wait, like the dark elf guy?
Yes. Oh, and trust me, it was considered.
And oh, I know. I know you love those fucking
and
books.
Rejected.
Yeah.
You know, it must have been bad or an interesting conversation, at least to be a fly on the wall in the, we need to name my daughter after Star Wars. No, we should name it after an elf. No, we should name, like, that conversation is the most ridiculous fucking thing that is also amazing.
I am Not sure if I should be insulted or not by that comment, but I won't be.
I mean, you guys have seen the old memes of it's like, oh God, what is it? Why is my sister named, I can't remember what the common one was, but it's a typical favorite thing that females used to like. And then it's like, he's like, oh, it's because, you know, we agreed that, you know, your mom would name your sister and I would get to name you. And he's like, oh, and is that true? And he's like, yeah, yeah. So anyway, Optimus Prime. And he's like, goes back to what he was talking about. God, I can't remember what the girl's name always is. Like, Batman's another common one you see in that slot. Jeremy, are you eating on the cast? He's eating pizza. Stop watching wrestling.
I'm not.
He keeps unmuting himself while he's eating to say shit. Let's see. We had no news, right? I'm just making sure.
No news.
So, Aaron, are you keeping up with the WTC? Did they fill up?
They are at 41, looking for a 42nd team of UN people to join to round out an even number.
Gotcha. I was just wondering how that was filling up. So last year was 32?
Mm-hmm. There were 64 spots available. Like I said, they are probably going to fill 42 of the 64.
Gotcha.
Cool. How many American teams do we get?
Trace.
Nice. Aaron, did you still want to talk about the state of the meta from last week? Has the moment passed?
Kind of. I mean, we can. I don't know that I have anything more than, you know, 3 minutes of thoughts.
That's fine.
Okay. So my impression, state of the meta, kind of goes back to Adepticon, which had seven different affiliations in the top 8. The only duplicate was Web Warriors. However, other than Spider Foes, I think they were all scenario-based teams.
Well, mine was... Are you talking about Challenger?
Yes.
Mine was quasi-scenario, but I wasn't attempting. Yeah.
No, I'll give you that. Yours was definitely kind of a hodgepodge of could-do-whatever, especially take one on the chin better than most of the... of the lists. I am going to reserve negative judgment and accept community group thought that the meta is in a more or less healthy state. I don't necessarily agree, but I'm going to take a step back from active disagreement.
I have a question.
Okay.
Is you're definitely more plugged in than I am. I have actively avoid internet conversations for the most part. Is that pretty much the stance? Is that the people think the game is in a good spot? Or the meta is, anyway?
Yes.
Okay.
I think that's the prevailing opinion. I still think scenario, specifically Steelers, are pushed too strong, but I'm going to, again, hop off that soapbox because I was probably on it a little too high. I should have been on it like two steps up, and instead I was like step 5 or 6. Despite the fact that scenario / stealing is probably the best thing in the game, that doesn't mean it's unbeatable like any given day. And there are a lot of different lists and affiliations that could leverage either attrition or their own version of plug and play stealers to achieve success. So there are, again, most people think the meta is pretty good, and I don't want to really rain on the parade, even if I think it's not quite accurate. So anyway, those are my spontaneous thoughts on the meta.
Okay. I find it surprising that that is the general consensus of the community. Everyone I've spoken to about this exact topic in the last month has been somewhere between steps 3 and 6 on the we need a major upheaval to fix scenario play. I'm definitely at the top of the ladder. I'm standing on the is not a step. Step and I'm like wiggling my legs and I'm like, please someone save me. I've a lot of my, you know, drive to play has been zapped by just knowing that every time I put models on the table, I just get to play against Black Cat and Rhino and Spider Woman again and again and again, and just watch as I either join them or lose. And it just kind of takes the fun away from the game for me.
Sure. So I'll say I don't think you have to join them or lose, right? I think you're like well beyond the steps of rational thought.
Sure. Like, we're not at the point where it's a one list game by any means. I'm not trying to say it is. I just don't enjoy the line of play that wins that way or competes with it. And so the ways you can compete with it are varying degrees of directly target their line of play. And it's just like, I want to be able to play what I want to play, not play what I am mandatorily dictated the meta says I have to play. And anytime I'm forced into that corner, I lose interest in the game.
There will always be something that's top of the meta that you'll have to take into account and put a counter into your list. Unless you're going to ask the hard question, if you know there's a hard question out there, you need to be able to answer it. Whether it was CGR or Hulk or Black Cat Rhino. So I guess I don't know where you're coming from, unless you think that the counters that applied to CGR are the counters you enjoyed playing and therefore the game was okay.
No, I don't think you had to counter CGR. I think you could counter CGR with just your play on the field. Now, obviously, the biggest thing with CGR was the dice are going to decide the game. But if my opponent's willing to put the game on dice, which is what several factions do already, it's like, okay, I'll just sit here. I'll make good decisions. I'll try to limit your ability to exploit your broken model and then play the game. And you're either going to dice me or you're not. And like that doesn't bother me as much as it does other people. And I recognize that is something I have just a high resistance to mentally, is I'm not worried about your model trying to dice me. And it's like, it just doesn't bother me because like I like playing smashy models. I understand the mechanics behind it. And so like when Malekith comes in and spikes you off the table, like it doesn't bother me as much as it does other people. Because like I understand that you're paying points for a lottery machine and like you're going to get it or you're not. The thing I don't like is because I don't think it has anything to do with a list right now. I don't think that's the problem. It is just that the scenario packet encourages Steelers, and the Steelers we have are too strong. And so I just, in my head, I feel like every time I put a list on the table, it's like, well, if I'm not just playing the Steel game, I'm losing.
Sure.
Like, well, I'm losing a noticeable chunk of my value in trying to win the game.
Use, you know, Corey Age as an example. Played him at Adepticon, Spider Foes, and did nothing but Green Goblin people all weekend. I played Hellfire. I beat him, but it was not a cakewalk. So he obviously had great success, top aided with Green Goblin, which is definitely not, I don't even think he played a Rhino into me.
Mm.
So it was just like, I'm going to murder your face with, you know, the stuff that Green Goblin foes can do. I'm going to mitigate some of what you can do by playing well-laid plans and Sinister Traps. Mm-hmm. I'm going to slow down your scoring, and I'm just going to take you to town. So that's where I'm going to give some credence to people that say that the meta is relatively healthy. Like, because I don't think you have to play Steelers, but I do think you have to have an answer for them.
Sure. And I don't think it's about success at an individual event. Like, I don't feel like I would be dramatically hindered to, like, let's say I put in a bunch of practice, played a list I want to play, went to a tournament. I would expect that I could place decently well. Mm-hmm. I would never expect to win a tournament that I go to, but I think I could, you know, show good representation. Because I recognize that, like, the difference in what I view the optimal list to be in the current meta as, like, a 55 to 60% win rate. And it's like, even in a 6-round tournament, like, there's so much variance there that it's not, you're not going to see it over a short period. It's the long game. And so it's like, because the advantage is there, you see this list everywhere. And I do not enjoy playing against it. And so I'm putting models on the table, fighting into things I hate playing against just so that I can be different. And I hate that whole experience. It really off puts me from the game.
Okay.
Well, and I don't think it's that the lists are unbeatable. I don't think it's that, you know, you have to join them. I think that he did a really smart thing. He brought tools to deal with those specific problems and then tried to play his game into it. Now, I don't know this Corey guy you're talking about, so I don't know if he wants to play foes or he just thought it was an interesting answer to the meta. And whichever one it is, I'm glad that he had success with it. It's just like, when I start developing lists, the part where it really just destroys my motivation is when I sit down to build a list and I get halfway done with my list and go, why am I not just playing the Steelers? And then I put the Steelers in. It's like, well, then how do I make the list better? Change it to Webs or change it to Hellfire and just sell out, because I think that is by far the strongest thing and that by not playing it, I'm just reducing my odds.
Parker, did you want to say something?
Oh, I was just going to say, if we're talking about like health of the meta, you might not enjoy Steelers in Marvel Crisis Protocol, but I get that. Like, you do not like their presence, and you appreciate them not being there. But I think that this game is so far from a foregone conclusion that I've seen in other games. When I looked at my list and I looked at your list, or I looked at the scenarios, and let's put everything together before we deploy models, and then I told myself, well, I can't win, which was something that happened in other games. It has happened in other games.
I totally agree with that statement.
Yeah, and so that to me is when I start to get turned off. You're talking about like, how do you feel about the meta? That's when I start to get turned off, and I don't feel like that at all right now. I also think,
oh yeah, I don't think in the game of Marvel you'll ever get to that point where you're just like, there's no way out. Right. Like there's always a way out.
Yeah.
And when you're deploying anyway, once you get to the point that you've made mistakes, now it's over.
Right.
But yeah.
And then in terms of the meta, I do agree that I agree with the current zeitgeist, which is that it is fairly healthy. I think you have the idea that you have these really hard scenario sellouts, and I think you have some people who are purposely targeting those scenario sellouts, and then you probably have, you know, a large breadth of lists, which would be kind of, I guess, quote unquote fair, that would probably not do well into a super hard attrition or not do well into a total scenario sellout. And those, you know, folks should, you know, enjoy their favorite faction that's not able to do those two things well, or rather not recognize that they needed to do something to their list to help deal with one of those two things. So I like that I have choices, and I like that there is variety. I think there is still variety. It's coming from somebody who played 14 games at Adepticon, and some of the most competitive tables there. I enjoyed that sometimes I played against people playing their favorite thing, and sometimes I played against people who were playing really hard to win with scenario lists, and I didn't hate any of the experiences, right? Like, I didn't feel like anybody was doing the wrong thing or taking advantage of some game mechanic that I just hated. I did not feel that. I felt like they were just playing their best game they could with the stuff that they decided to bring. So, and that's the definition of a good meta, I think, is that people are bringing things and playing with it and expecting to do well, and sometimes they do, sometimes they don't.
Well, sure, that's part of the reason I get the most excited about the off formats, because like in team tournaments, that's not necessarily what you're playing against, because the way the resources work, you can't give all those tools to one player like you normally can. Mm-hmm. So they kind of have to share the load by breaking up those combo pieces. And so, and even if they do give them all to one player, well, now I only have a 1 in 3 chance to play them. And so it's very different. Like doing timelines is kind of similar, because it forces you to diversify your tools while already playing in a restricted pool. So I would say the only format we're really talking about is the generic format.
Right. I will say this about, if there is something that I could comment about the scenario game, is that in terms of your margin of error against a well-piloted scenario team is so razor thin. It is a much more punishing game if you make mistakes, because the scenario team probably doesn't have to rely upon variants like dice as often. And so as soon as you make a mistake, then you are punished so much harder than if you make a mistake against somebody who's willing to roll dice and going to win through a more attrition style.
It's such a weird situation, because they can still be benefited or hurt by the dice, but they don't require the dice to achieve their victory condition when you do. And so they don't rely on the chaos, but the chaos is still there. But your list completely relies on chaos. And so there's always the chance that despite your best efforts, you just fail at what you're trying to do. And that doesn't exist for the other team. And that's like one of the big reasons that scenario is so strong. There's a lot of other ones, but that's one of the key base components. But think of it like this, then, if one of the great things about Marvel, like, because I don't think anyone would say it's the most competitive game out there. Like, it's not the crunchiest game. It is very fun. But part of the really fun part of Marvel is that the intricacies and the variations that can happen in a single game. Like, you know, the different outcomes based on the same originating point. Like, let's say me and Parker get paired round one of a tournament. There are so many different ways that match can go from start to finish. We get the scenario flipping, the point totals, priority roll. We get deployments. We get, you know, initial combats. And it's every single thing that happens. The game is constantly evolving. But when you come up with a scenario list, as soon as you hit deployment, it's now follow the script, don't deviate from the script. Mm-hmm. And that's the way the game works. And like you were saying earlier, it's punishing if you make mistakes. There's always the obvious thing that you're supposed to do against the scenario team, and it's generally roll dice against them. And so it's just like the CGR game. I'm just watching dice decide the game, making all of the same decisions every round. It's like, I know I have to kill Cat in this situation, but the game does not allow me to invest resources in changing that outcome. I just have to roll the dice. And then I just watch it happen, and she's either going to die or she's not. I just find that line of play really boring.
And I think that's why, like, characters that, you know, a lot of them are spider foes because they're the trappy faction. And, you know, the characters mm-hmm. that do auto damage and things like that feel so good against scenario teams. It's exactly that, right? They don't have to rely upon, well, here I need to roll three hits or else I'm going to lose real bad or start that slide, right? Start that slippery slope. So I need three hits right now. Well, no, you don't need three hits because you already got two damage earlier. So I just need one, and that's a lot easier to get. So there are things, if you really, really, and I think this is probably the definition of a, you know, a good revolving, you know, rock, paper, scissors style meta, which is, you know, okay, I really don't want to lose against scenario, right? I really don't want to. And I go, well, then consider some of these auto damage effects in your own affiliation or some affiliation that do more than yours. Like, there are things you can do if you want to beat paper, for example, right? Like, there are scissors. And as long as that exists, then I feel good. The thing I didn't like about the CGR meta was it felt like CGR was Spock, right? It didn't matter what anybody else did. It didn't matter what you threw down because CGR on turn one removed your model that mattered. And on every other turn after that did that. Unless he failed, right? So it was up to his mm-hmm. dice to fail, not
well, like, the statistically speaking, made. He shouldn't succeed every time. Right. The games that felt overwhelming is when they got noticeably above average on the dice. And then mm-hmm. it obviously is going to feel impossible because you're fighting uphill. Mm-hmm. And then there's the games where he just does almost nothing, and then you win automatically, and it's just the opposite. It just didn't happen as much. But yeah, I totally respect that people can dislike that playstyle and don't want to play against it. I totally get it. Malekith was the same way. Some people just absolutely hated Malekith slamming into them and just getting to do whatever he wanted. Like, it's just frustrating. I get it, because that's exactly how I feel against scenario teams. Uh-huh. But I guess on that topic, so you think that you could throw together a list that has a very strong play into scenario teams just by doing, like, auto damage stuff?
I think you could increase your likelihood of winning in scenarios, yes. Without, for example, just going, I'm going to only play spider foes because they have all these auto damage effects.
I think spider foes obviously has tools. We've talked about that previously. I think spider foes are an interesting place to fight against the most popular thing in the game right now.
Right.
As where previously, people would, like, almost laugh at you for playing spider foes. Like, mm-hmm. now they're interesting meta choice.
Right. No, I think every affiliation has either some affiliation effects or some... I mean, there might be exceptions because, like, Sentinels exist and they don't have a lot of models. But I think their ability... If you have a low affiliation count, then you can, you know, draw from other affiliations. Or you could... get models in your affiliation that do specifically better against those kind of models by leveraging things like automatic damage and extra throw damage and things like that. Yeah.
I think those lists basically just end up being like X-Force and things like that, that are already doing as much damage as they possibly can. And I know that I think X-Force is one of the scarier matchups for like webs specifically.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
But I don't think that it's like a boogeyman for them. I think it's just like a harder game than most of their normal matchups.
Aaron, would you agree with this? Because I felt like this whenever I was playing Brotherhood, because I was playing Brotherhood scenario and I was specifically trying to win with scenario. I was, and maybe you feel differently, I am exhausted playing a scenario list because I feel like at any moment my opponent could get some lucky dice, and then I am ice skating uphill. I do not feel like it's like there's always. Sorry, I agree with you, Brandon. There is like one right choice, but I feel like the margin of error is different, because the margin of error on, like, I guess the onus is not on me to make the right decision, because oftentimes the decision is obvious. It's just to stay alive, cross my fingers and my toes, and hope they don't do damage in that moment. Because as soon as they do two damage, now they have enough to throw, and now my model fell down.
But that's my point. The entire, like, the excitement of the game is waiting for the dice to be rolled that we all already know are going to be rolled. Like, there's no decision making, because, like, you already, all of your models are just following a flowchart, basically, on how to get the most victory points. And so it's only, the only decision you get to make is it worth putting my guy in danger to continue following the script?
Yeah.
That's the only decision you make for the whole game. And then, yeah, there is a decent amount of, like, butthole clenching when things start happening. Yeah. But you know, if you understand the math and you've played enough games to get jaded to it, you know what's going on. And so it's just like this is where I got with Webs. It was like, hey, look, this guy does the exact same thing he did last game, and things happen. The only interesting model to activate was Gwen, because Gwen actually changes the board state.
So I think that's too derivative. I mean, in every game,
certainly there's,
you'll have different decision points on, oh, you went into Miles, left them on one. Okay, I know what Miles would like to do this game, but I might need to change that based off of current health pool, current models, and what else I might be able to get done. So yes, there are certain play patterns that you'll see repeated game in and game out, but that doesn't change to make any one individual game have meaningless decisions.
Meaningless decisions.
Or no decisions, right? Brandon said you'll make one decision all game. I think you make a lot more than that.
Yeah.
Even in the Webb's Hellfire games, like,
no, right. You're constantly monitoring it, but it's like an auto battler, in my opinion. Like, it's like once you know all the variations of the plays that your models can make, you're just doing the obvious ones until your opponent manages to achieve something that changes the board state. And then you, like you're saying, obviously you have to adjust the situation. Like I was saying, you have to manage, you know, exposure to your models, because they're basically winning you the game by existing. And so it's just like, you have to, that's all you get to do. But a lot of the time it ends up being pretty obvious stuff. It's like, oh, you didn't leave me on one, so I guess I'm going to stay here. Or you did leave me on one, I'm going to run away. It's like, oh, you killed me, I play mission objective. Like, it's like, oh, you're trying to attack me with a charge, I play spider tracker. Like, it's a lot of very obvious stuff. And I just find the whole playstyle, I don't know, unfulfilling. It just, I feel like it's the worst aspects of the game all put into one game.
And I think there's apps. You know, to make a TCG analogy, I think the control deck player, right, would say that they really love, like, considering everything that they're doing, everything their opponent's doing, and playing that if I do it, then you do, if I do it, then you do game, like, all the time. That has nothing really to do with the damage on the cards or the life points left. Like, you're just trying to last longer than your opponent. Like, that control style definitely appeals to people, and I think the fact that it exists in this game is important. I think if you took control out and there was no control.
Yeah, I don't think we should take it out. I just think specifically the Steelers. Like, I don't mind the board control stuff as much, like the throws. I don't mind the Kingpin leadership as much. It's specifically the Steelers are just too strong. I don't even think stealing should leave the game. I just think it's too good, which is why you see them on every single table. Like, we're talking about a collection of 4 or 5 models out of 170 that are on every single table. It's like, we're talking about, like, CGR wasn't played as much as Black Cat, was he? Like, he wasn't even in the top 5.
It's funny, the model that is played the most is not a Steeler. He's just a consistent scenario piece. Are we okay with him?
I don't think Bill's okay. I think he needs to get hit, but
okay.
He's less abusable, because the reason Bill gets played is for his defensive capabilities to protect you from exploitation. As where the models that I think are always causing the negative play experiences are the exploiting models, like Black Cat and stuff like that.
Okay.
At least that's my opinion. Like, same thing with Lizard. Like, Lizard is clearly over fucking tuned. Just, he's not exploitable because he doesn't really do that much. He just doesn't die. And so he's like, congrats, you're not dead. Like, good job. And so that forces people to play things that can deal with the fact that he's not going to die, like, you know, board control, stuff like that.
I can understand and appreciate your opinion. We'll just have to respectfully disagree at some level.
So you disagree that Steelers are too strong?
No. That's why I said at some level.
So we're going to agree to agree. We're going to agree in different amounts of enthusiasm.
Yes. We're on the same ladder. We're just on different rungs.
You're on the paint tray and I'm on the top. You're handing me the rope.
Exactly.
What do you think, Jeremy? Do you have a fondness for Black Cat?
No, the thing I keep thinking about is when the game first came out in the starter box, and then the first handful of models came out, and stealing didn't exist, right? So the game that I bought into didn't even have that as an aspect of the game. Mm-hmm. Then the first one that came out was Enchantress. So
Miles.
Was it Miles?
Yeah, Miles was Wave 2. Uh-huh. Yeah, but again, when he came out, nobody could talk about anything other than how broken this model is.
Well, yeah. I mean, he had a leadership, he was killable, and he had to actually spend a shitload of power to do it and make himself pretty vulnerable.
Yep. No, I remember Enchantress was also an absolutely massive.
And then Enchantress came out and was like, just hand me that, please.
Yeah.
And we were like, and I also have Bow. Kidding me?
Yeah.
So as soon as those mechanics came out, it was kind of like, this is crazy. Like, what are we looking at here? And then, you know, fast forward like 3 years beyond that. And now there's several models. There's like a bunch that do almost that. Just hand me your shit. That's cool. Just, I'm going to pay X. Hand me your shit.
Yeah.
People
were playing advanced R&D and just auto stealing your extract on turn two with double walk bow steal.
And I just don't think with the way the mechanics are and the dice are, like, it just creates an experience that's fun at all. It's like haves and have-nots. When I don't think the game was built around it. I think they thought it was cute and interesting. And it is in its way. Like, I think Rhino's robbery card is awesome. Like, he's a fucking, he just throws you and fucks you up and, like, you spend power, whatever. But I think that should be the rarity, not the case. Like,
yeah.
It should not be the thing. And every affiliation shouldn't have a version of it. And I feel like a year or two down the road, everybody's going to have one or two Steelers. They're all going to do the same shit. And it's just, I got into this game because it was cool to watch Hulk throw shit. Like, I was like, that's very cinematic. That's pretty cool. Not for just a dumbass model to be walk up, take your stuff, and kind of stand there. And you're like, I'll throw seven dice at you. You take one because I can't do anything about it. It's just silly. It's just a really bad feeling. And I don't like games that have that kind of thing. Now, that's to say every person in the world is playing that. And they're not. They're not. Like, the environment has a shitload of models out right now. Most people are playing something fairly casual. But when you want to be competitive, it seems like you need to kind of pick your poison and run with it. Or suck it up, Buttercup. Like, you're probably going to have to handle it, and it's not going to be any fun. That's where I'm at with it. Like, I don't enjoy the game with the point-and-click Steelers. I just think that's just dumb for this environment of game. But that's just where I'm at. Like, I'm not saying better, worse, whatever. I don't enjoy it.
Apparently, Jeremy was standing on the ladder beside me the whole time. I didn't know.
First off, I'd kick you off the ladder.
I know, we're like having a ladder match, and Jeremy in the middle of the ring.
I like would then take your ladder.
Same rope, yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like, again, I bought into this game for a certain thing that I liked. Like, it always sold me on the fact that it was very cinematic, and I enjoyed that part of it. And I also enjoy asymmetrical games, but I think the Steelers showed up and just kind of fucked it up. Like, I don't think they're where they should be right now. I just hope it feels a little better later, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Well, a couple things I want to say is I think the best thing about this community is always that you see people tend to play just what they want to play and not necessarily what they think is good. And so it's not like it's dominating the meta and it's everyone is only doing scenario sellout. It's just currently popular. So it's not like I'm trying to say people just only follow. It's like that's definitely not the case. And you guys are right, where it's like diversity has been a selling point of this game for a long time. Yeah, I think I agree a lot with what you said. Is mostly the scripted, like, auto happening steals. Like, if all the steals were like on spender attacks that cost power and also maybe had a dice requirement, like they only steal on a wild. Like add some variance in there so it's just not quite so consistent and it's not just point and click.
Or they all require a tactics card. Like,
they don't. Well, like Black Cat Moodoo just do it.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
If they all require tactics cards just once and it's like, okay, like we've talked a lot about ways to make it feel less bad when they steal. I think there was definitely a time when the game was in a far worse place from scenario basis. And they fixed it. So, like, I'm not worried that they're not going to address it.
I agree.
Just, in the meantime, I'm just not very interested in participating. I have a really hard time turning the competitive part of my brain off. And knowing that there is something that at least I feel is noticeably stronger than everything else, it's really hard to ignore that when I'm building lists to play the game. Anyway, that's my ladder talk. You can climb down off the ladder now.
Fuck your ladder. It's kicked over. You're on fire. No. You're on fire.
Why am I on fire?
Because you deserve it.
That's probably fair. Ooh. Are you guys excited for the spider foes?
I just wish Electro had shock, or Shocker had shock.
Shocker.
If Shocker had shock, I feel like everything would be just. Yeah, it would be just.
But then he wouldn't have super shock.
I feel that this is aimed somehow at me.
Why?
That's just not true. Shocker to have shock.
Don't be silly.
Then I guess you'd have to call Marvel and tell him to change canon and maybe
call Feige. We got to get him on the phone.
Yeah, call him up. Be like, hey. This game I play called Marvel Crisis Protocol. Shocker don't shock. Can you retcon him so that I can petition this more easily?
All people will talk about when I hear Gwenum brought up is that she's going to have the alter ego Gwen Stacy, so it literally doesn't matter what they put on her card. But I think they're wrong. I don't think they realize what is Venom's like crowning ability that's the best ability on his card. Web snare. Mm-hmm. She's just going to be Gwen, but with a medium pull. What do you guys think?
I don't think that's going to be true.
It's going to happen. It's going to be amazing. Oh, and she'll have like 4 defense and 7 health. So that's the upgrade for 1 point. It's going to be amazing. And her lifesaver is going to be a medium pull as well. I'm really good about balancing models.
She'll be 2 points.
2 points.
That's what's
Or it's important. Just 2 people, right? It's Gwen and Venom. It's 2 points.
Yeah.
1 each.
I think she's going... Now, I have no reason to believe this, but I think she's going to be really fair. She's going to be another one of those in the same way as Gwen
Boring Poole, force.
Gwenpool and Squirrel Girl. Just, I think she's going to be just very fair. I think they reserve their craziness for Black Panthers. I think it's... Because Chosen of Bast is dumb. And so I think every one of these cycles, they always put one in there. They're just kind of like, yeah, here's one. Throw it in there. See if it'll spin the meta a little bit.
Cool. Is there anything else you guys want to chat about before we get out of here? Nothing? You got nothing? Parker has no words.
Oh, I mean, I have a comic. I have a comic corner that I've been sitting on for a while. Ooh, and it's finally okay. And it's finally super applicable. But...
Well, we're going to go ahead and skip that for today.
That's fine. No, I...
Right into justice.
I know that when it comes, it'll come. I don't need it to be tonight. I just want you to know.
How applicable is it?
It was... Well, we know the model is coming out. She got...
Oh, so there, we'll do it when the model's like closer then.
Okay.
Gotcha. All right.
Because, the reason... I was so excited because... fan of the podcast, fan of mine. I like him a lot. Jake, shout out to Jake. He came up to me. He's like, "Hey, this character's coming out in Marvel. Could you recommend a comic book?" I was like, "Yes, I can. I've been sitting on this egg for like 4 weeks."
Parker, I'm so happy you finally found somebody that likes you. I'm so happy for you.
I was going to say, you got the one.
Yeah. Got him. Found one. Shout out, Jake. You're my hero.
I bet Jake. Jake was cool.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Well, let's go ahead and wrap it up. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. It has been good. This has been Brandon.
And Parker.
And Jeremy. Hashtag Bug Warriors.
And Aaron.
And you've just listened to Brandon Stands on a Ladder.
So what are we going to call this thing?
I got it. Okay. Incredible, new, fantastic, astonishing, mighty, original, uncanny, sensational podcast.
I'm just going to put down infamous.
We're back.
Yeah.
We be back.
Did I tell you guys? I know I didn't tell you, Brandon. The OBS, you know, recordings that, you know, the backup recordings, I failed to stop one two podcasts ago, and I just recorded like a full 48 hours of nothing on my computer.
Yep.
And what's weird is I was really nervous it wouldn't even save it, like it would be such a monstrous amount of data. But I guess if it's not recording any noise, there's just not that much data, maybe? Like, just it does.
It's a very small amount of data, but yeah. Also, like, it should be constantly saving. And it basically, to my understanding, it uses your RAM to basically float the extra memory. Mm. And it just saves it in chunks and keeps adding to the file. So even if it corrupts, you only lose that segment.
Really?
Or at least that's my understanding. I'm not sure.
I ended up deleting it just because I didn't want to have a... Yeah. Infinitely I mean, large file, and we already made the cast, but
yeah, I think we've only had to go to backups one time,
right? But I still thought it was interesting that I came back and I was like, "Why isn't my computer going to sleep?" Huh? Oh, it's been recording for 2 days. Cool.
That I just actually happened to me.
Oh yeah.
We recorded the other day, and I just noticed it today when I opened the laptop that it still had a red dot on it. I looked at it. I'm like. Oh, shit. And I opened it, and I was like, oh, my God. Yeah, it's a 500 meg file when that file is usually 100 meg. Mm. Like, it's very small.
Yeah.
I'm like, oops.
I ran into a weird thing today. I was working on some 3D files. And so there's a program, Windows 3D Builder. It's just a really simple file that you can use to, like, edit STLs or, like, you know, do things to them. But the main feature a lot of people use it for is the repair function is really good. And so you'll... Basically, when you compress an STL into a zip file and then send it over the internet and uncompress it, there's a lot of like file degradation, and so it kind of messes up the STL, so you have to fix them and basically have the program run through, figure out what went wrong, and undo the damage. And so it's a really easy program, you just run in the background. But I was running 8 of them simultaneously because I'm trying to get shit done. It's very RAM intensive. And so I got to the point where your computer runs out of RAM and starts acting real weird. And so I close all 8 of the programs right before the podcast starts. But my RAM is still maxed out, so my computer's incredibly sluggish and doesn't want to do anything. It's barely responding to the mouse moving. And I'm like, but all the programs are closed. And so I'm just looking at Windows Task Manager, like, what is going on? And I look at it, none of things. I finally scroll all the way down to the bottom. It's like, Task Manager is using 31 gigs of RAM. I'm like, whoa, fuck. So it's like, stop it. And I closed it down immediately. The computer something went wrong with Task Manager. And I was like, oh, shit.
It got hungry. Some kind
of memory leak going on, yeah. It was pretty funny.
How many teams are signed up for the team?
I haven't even looked. Hopefully, I've been trying to...
Hundreds.
I've been doing a shitty job of it. I'm trying to, like... poke people and make sure that they're organizing teams. I made the horrible mistake of taking a day off and then I got way behind on everything again. Let's see. Ooh, 8 teams signed up? I think one of them's a fake team, though. Yeah, it's Springfield. Springfield signed up too many teams. This is looking good, though. I didn't think we'd have so many.
Yeah, it's going to be a good showing.
Yeah, we're looking at seven teams. Damn.
You didn't put it out yet. Were you planning? Did you? Were you going to check lists and stuff, or just trust folks?
No, I'm just going to make an announcement beforehand. I feel like we've run enough of these, and most of these people are repeat offenders, so they should know the rules by now. And we're just going to have a check yourselves one final time before we start the tournament, and then if we run into a problem, I'll just issue penalties. Do you guys think I should not do that?
No, I think it's perfectly. Yeah, I mean, it's a local tournament. It's the stakes are low.
Bake an extra 5 minutes and have every opponent check their opponent's list.
Mm-hmm. That's an easy
before they start game one.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Three I don't Hulks, think anybody. Huh? Yeah, I don't think anybody would intentionally do anything. It would just be a whoops. I think
the first. Yeah, no, I agree. But a lot of it came to the first time we did. We had a lot of errors that I caught by checking lists beforehand. But a lot of it was like three people that didn't even really know each other on a team, and so like they had miscommunicated what they were taking. And like somebody had said, like, well, here's my list, and the other two people go, we'll build around this, and then they suggest changes. And so the original person changes their list and they never checked it after that.
Right.
And so like there was a lot of that going on, and there's people that were like only loosely communicating, but now I think most people know what's up, so they're doing a good job.
I like Aaron's plan a lot. That works well.
Yeah, we'll just do that. And then if we have any issues, we'll just hot swap some stuff around. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Actually, I think that everyone that makes a mistake with tactics cards gets assigned Heave-Ho. And you get as many copies of Heave-Ho as you want added to your
team. Oh, no, that would be scary. Yeah, No.
I think Heave-Ho is the best filler.
My current plan was if you get caught using an illegal duplication, the opposing team selects which of the elements is deleted from your rosters. And so, like, if it gets caught in-game, like, oh, you guys are both using Hulk, like, they just choose which Hulk to pick up. And it's like, oh, like, so it's like, it's up to you guys, you know, to follow the rules, so, like, you can't duplicate these characters. Mm. I figure that'd be better than giving just a straight game loss. But, like, if you lose Brace mid-game, it's not necessarily back-breaking, but now you're just 9 Tactus cards for the rest of the event.
15-point gamma. Hulk's gone. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fuck you! So Colin gave you fits, huh? Aaron?
No, God, no.
Oh.
I just...
Just harassing Kenny. I like it.
Yeah.
Seems like they're getting some games in, though. Like, they're being pretty active on it.
Yeah, no. All right, definitely getting a lot better. Rules knowledge was on point. Just a couple, you know, activation decisions that were not great we talked about.
It takes a while to get, like... I mean, I can't even claim that I am, but... It takes a while to get the priority and the ebb and flow of that game down. It can be pretty backbreaking until you feel like until you get to figure out what you're trying to do.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I think it's really easy. It's just hard to actually grasp. When you move a model, you have to ask yourself, is this model going to die this round because of what I'm doing with it? If the answer is yes. It doesn't matter what else you are trying to do with the model. It doesn't fucking matter.
It doesn't matter.
Stop and reevaluate your life.
I think the mindset generally in miniatures games is if I can trade, it's okay. But in Judgment, because things respawn, you have to trade in reverse, right?
Yes, but...
Like, I have to have a plan to trade back, not to trade. Because trading is terrible. Trading back is fine.
Right, but you have to bait them to take it, so then you
right,
can trade
but in
up.
Most games, yeah. the person who strikes first in a trade generally wins it.
Sure.
And so it's completely inverted because your shit's coming back.
Yeah.
And they get the soul and you don't, right? That's all that matters.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And so it's a big like mental shift into playing reactionary instead of proactive.
Okay, now I know this is not a Judgment podcast, but it still seems good to attack an opponent's model and remove it from the board and force them to come back with less health and for you to get a soul. Why
so
would
the
you
problem
not do
is
that?
That when you overreach to go do that, then they get to kill your guy for free because they don't have to spend all the action economy closing the gap. You've brought yourself to them. Then they kill you, you lose the soul that you just got, they get your soul, and they're still way on the other side of the table. And so now you have to overreach again to try and go get that guy, giving them yet another soul. And so all you do is keep missling in souls at them, trying to recover your losses. Mm-hmm. And so you basically, yeah, have to intentionally not overreach.
Yeah, not overreaching is probably the key to the game. Mm-hmm. And fucking monsters.
It's interesting because it's the first game where I've played and every action point isn't what's important. A lot of times it's, you know what, I'm going to move one space and fuck you, you go. Like, there's nowhere to go that's good. So why? Right. But you want to like, okay, I have these actions I can take and I want to be, you know, I want to be efficient and do everything, you know. But it's like so many times the best move is just don't do anything. Just hang out where you're at.
Reminds me of War Machine a lot in that way because there was a lot of that pandering for position. It's like, well, I don't have a good option because the nuclear threat is on the table. If I move forward, I'm dead. And so, and this model is too important to me, so I have to go do something else to change the position I'm in. And so you start fighting over inches as opposed to fighting over models. And then you kind of just kind of bully each other around until somebody crosses the no man's land and decides to start the war. And then everyone starts dying.
Yup. What's more important is I went and saw Kong versus Godzilla, or Kong X Godzilla.
Yeah.
Really stupid, but really awesome.
That's kind of the impression I get of the new Godzilla movies.
Godzilla, like, King Kong beats the shit out of a bunch of other Kongs with a baby Kong.
Have you seen the memes?
Oh, it's so good.
Oh, it's so great.
I've seen some of the memes,
My favorite is me when CPS is kicks down my door trying to take my beer fetching machine and they just pick up the baby.
I was telling my kids because we watched it. They didn't really know any of the previews. They didn't know that was going to happen. And as soon as they did that and we were driving home, I was like, don't mess with me. I will grab your brother and beat you with him.
Nice.
It's so silly. But it was just awesome. It was like a Fast and Furious. That was a quote from Muse because they talked about it. But they're like, yeah, it's like a Fast and Furious thing. You know what to expect. It's just crazy monsters doing crazy shit. And it doesn't have to be a Michael Crichton critical thinking movie. It just is, you know, it is what it is. Have you watched the Netflix? It's Physical 100.
No.
It's 100 incredibly swole Koreans because it's a Korean show.
This sounds exactly like something you and my brother would watch.
Oh, it's so good. And they do like strength contests back and forth, and it's like, all right, you two, get in the pit. Push each other out. Whoever gets pushed out loses. And it's just nonstop lifting shit and pulling things and how many sit-ups and push-ups. And it's just a suffering contest for all these swole individuals to make the, you know, whoever is king of the mountain at the last episode, I guess. It's so good.
It's funny when you describe the show and at the end you're like, it's so good. I'm like, I expect you to say the opposite.
No, it's awesome.
Oh, man.
It's because they have to do things like, here is a ball of...
you love that reality show shit, and I just cannot do it.
Take this bag of corn, hold it above your head. It's 120 pounds. Whoever's holding it last wins. Dude, just watching all these people suffer through it, and finally someone's been holding it for 2.5 hours. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? I love that shit.
Oh, God. I used to watch the World's Strongest Man competition stuff. I always thought that was fun. Because it's basically a game show, right?
Yep. Yeah, I like those guys a lot. Like, they have... There's a handful of shows out there now that are, like, World's Strongest Man doing shit about town. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those are so good.
Well, they've become celebrities now. Yeah. They really used to be. Like, Arnold was obviously the big one. But beyond that, there's only, like, two or three other guys that were really, like, world famous.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's like a lot of people know those guys. Just the internet has made people so much more famous than they used to be.
The American, who is currently like one of the biggest, like strongest guys, is his name is Brian Shaw. And he's like 6'7", 400 pounds.
He's so
And he's big. Not even that fat. Like he's fucking just a giant. He's like a human giant.
Yeah. Eddie Hall was the previous really famous guy, and he's actually, like, pretty fat, like, comparatively to the other guys. Mm-hmm. He's clearly, obviously, heavily muscled, but he's just, he's got the big belly where a lot of them don't. They're, like, they're still stocky, but they're not like he is.
He was supposed to do a fight recently with Thor, the other guy that was a big deal. The guy in Game of Thrones. Yeah. And they got, they, like, trimmed down for a boxing match. Oh, God. And it was so weird because all of a sudden, like, they're like shrinking down. They both lost like 100 pounds apiece. And they've got these giant, like, weird abs and like this weird looking, like, muscle structure because it's for World's Strongest Man muscle. It's not like bodybuilding muscle, so it's not like carved out.
It's like fucking big weird. And slabby. Yeah,
yeah, it's just chunky. Like thick. Mm-hmm. It's so thick.
Yeah, I watched some of the Eddie Hall clips of him, like, preparing for the boxing match. And it's like, they would get people in the gym. It's like, all right, Eddie's going to hit you in the stomach. And they're like, no. Like, I don't want you to shatter my ribs. And then they put on, like, the big chest blocker. And he's got, like, pads on in front of that. And he, like, hits him at 50% power and picks him up off the ground. You're like, Jesus. All right, do we have a topic for today? I had an interesting idea.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we could explore. What if we built a Spider-Foes roster on the podcast? It's the only way to get ratings nowadays.
Oh my God. No. Have we done anything like a top three models in each affiliation kind of thing?
We did out of affiliation models for each affiliation.
Yeah. We have a thing here we've been looking at maybe doing for a while, which is affiliation breakdowns, talking about each affiliation, like what they bring to the table. I think we had a listener suggest doing a character spotlight.
They're just trying to steal ideas from...
Talk about character.
They're trying to steal ideas from the Judgment Podcast. Just settle down, folks. Settle down.
Those are champions. We don't review champions on this.
Oh, that's true. Listen, we can't just repeat material.
What? We can't? This is going to be hard.
I've also been watching The Walking Dead. So we've all been watching that as a weird family. And I'm very excited about it. It's been very good. Mm-hmm. Everyone... My boys are not having nightmares about zombies yet. I mean, they will, obviously.
Yeah.
They're only, you know, going to be 12 soon. And also, Heather likes it. So that's good. And then I was inspired by your trip through 6 Feet Under, Brandon. Me and Heather started watching that. So we've got multiple shows now. When...
I think a lot like Breaking Bad, it's just bad to binge that show because it gets
it's
so like overly dramatic at times.
It is.
Where you're just like, it's just a, like you get fatigue of it. And so like the scenes that are supposed to mean a lot just don't mean anything anymore because you just had so much of it over the last like hour or two. And so you kind of just get like, it just burns you out and then you're just kind of watching and not enjoying it.
So yeah, you can tell that it was made before binging exists. Because about two episodes, definitely three, I'm over at three. I can't, like, it doesn't feel very good. But it's so crazy because shows used to be every week, you know, you get one episode a week and that's what you got. It was a
big deal. Like you get a schedule sitting down to watch your show, especially the big ones. Like maybe there'd be a rerun day, like maybe it'd air on Friday, there'd be a rerun on Sunday. But like if you weren't at home on Friday at 8 o'clock, you miss your show, and you can't watch next week because you'll have missed an episode. And the last so it one, was a
yeah.
There was a big thing like if you like you're out of town or you're going on a date or something, you're gonna miss your show. Now you have to wait for it to come out on DVD to see it.
We so the last one that was like that for me was Game of Thrones, and. I was actually on my way to Florida for our normal trip I take every year. I'm like, I drop in and it happens that I'm in Atlanta and see my friend John. And we both were like, all right, so we do know tonight is Game of Thrones and we're watching that, right? And I'm like, why do you think we fucking stopped? Like, so it's crazy because so many shows now just puke out 12 of them and watch them all in a row.
Yeah. So I did not realize I've had Curb Your Enthusiasm on my to watch list for a while now. I didn't realize the show was still fucking going.
No, it restarted itself.
Yeah, they took a five-year break, yeah. And then they started it again. I had no fucking idea that it's like a 12-season show that took place over 17 years. Uh-huh. That's nuts.
This is its last season. This is it.
Yeah, I heard the finale actually just came out.
So are you watching it?
No, I've not seen a single episode. Oh,
you're going to love it. That motherfucker is the biggest asshole. Like, yeah. Watch it. There's so many good things that happen in that show.
Yeah, you know, it's been, like I said, I know I'm going to watch it. I know I'm going to like it. I just haven't gotten around to it. It's next up on my TV shows to watch.
Yeah, thinking about it now, like, you're really going to like it because you were so much like that guy. Because he does. He says whatever is on his mind, and he does not like...
Do you think I say whatever comes to mind?
I
keep a lot in there.
And so does he.
This is me filtered.
But everything, like, he looks at everything differently and is just like...
Yeah, no, I get you know, what you're saying.
You know what I mean. Like, you'll see. Yeah. You'll see. You'll no, be I, like, yeah, that guy said it.
I did see my my cousin, who was my guardian for a while. She was a big fan of the show.
Yeah.
And I watched like 5 minutes of one of the episodes where he was tipping people for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And he like tips the same guy twice. And then realizes it after the fact, so then he tries to
take it back.
He tries to convince the guy to give him the money back.
Yep.
And he's like, "No, you didn't tip me twice." He's like, "I know I tipped you." And he starts arguing with this employee that he gave him a Christmas bonus twice, basically, and he wants the cash back. And then they get into a screaming match in the restaurant. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, every episode is just, it's good. It's just a great written show. It's very good. That's why I don't understand why I didn't like Sopranos so much. Like, everyone loved it. It's an HBO show. It was made in the time of shows that I enjoyed, and I just never got into it.
I definitely want to rewatch Walking Dead.
I think I watched like the first three seasons years ago, and like I really don't remember any of this except when the big moments happen. I'm like, oh yeah, that's the thing with the
this
thing.
This is
in
another
it.
One that's really slow, and so there's long periods, like 10 minutes at a time, where it's just kind of like dramatic walking, and like the people are like contemplating and stuff, and it's like got that heavy overtone, and so it's definitely one where you can kind of like get distracted during, and so I can definitely see not remembering everything.
Well, and they do dumb stuff like they'll try and remind you in that show because it's weeks a week apart. Mm-hmm. It'll be like, this character is supposed to be stupid. This character is supposed... So watching it back to back, you're like, okay, I get
this
it.
This guy's really stupid. Because they keep reminding you.
Yeah, the guy that has the RV doesn't do anything but worry about his RV and fix it all the time.
Yeah,
I get it. You don't have to do it every episode, but they do.
Hmm. I'm surprised the character that plays Rick hasn't been in more stuff. With how like famous he was for a Walking Dead.
He's fucking busy. He's doing Walking Dead shit. He's got more Walking Dead shows on right now.
Oh, that's right, because he's like in the spinoffs?
Yes.
I didn't realize that. Okay.
There's like four spinoffs.
He's got like three shows going. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. He's only allowed to do Walking Dead stuff. If there's a zombie, you're gonna find Rick. That's all there is.
I guess. All right, let's go ahead and jump into it. You guys ready? We'll just kinda meander our way to a topic. Do you guys know how I like say Infamous the audio podcast? I know we've touched on this before, but I used to do that on the L2 Wargame podcast when there weren't such a thing as video podcasts, and it used to drive Jeremy fucking crazy. He used to get so mad. Not this Jeremy, different Jeremy, but he would be absolutely furious. He's like, "Why do you keep saying audio podcast?" Like, well, because it's an audio podcast. He's like, "There is only audio podcast. It's redundant, and it's the first thing you say every time." I'm like, "I know, it's great." He got so pissed. And now it's actually relevant because we don't do a video podcast.
Nice. Finally.
We should do a video podcast so people can see us and how much we drink.
Some of us.
Don't act like you're not drinking.
I'm out. I didn't want to crack the other
you
bottle.
You ran out? You're not going to open another
I ran out early.
Line?
No. It's not a... I have to work tomorrow.
All right. Well, let's go and do our... Mojo World this week. You guys ready?
Yeah, super show.
You ready for some excitement? All right, I'm gonna give you guys a nice lead in. You ready?
Okay.
This week in Mojo World rankings, Parker reads a newspaper.
I just want everyone to know that Mexican pizza came in second.
I saw that.
What's the term? First or last? I can't remember. Mm-hmm.
I also clicked on it and to find out whose names they were, and none of them are from our Discord. So that's really interesting.
What?
That not one of them is from our Discord. Somehow, I don't know who it could be.
Random people. I have to check. Is he just lying?
Yeah.
It's just, yes.
Or did you lying. Actually make a bunch of fake accounts?
Because I can see that.
He has all day.
Yeah. View reactions.
Yeah. It's I thought it was Dizzard really odd.
And Richard and Steven and but these
people,
Gabe.
This is real.
And yes. Your friend Jake Barrett. Are you gonna do him dirty like that?
Jake, I actually wasn't gonna call Jake out on this, but Jake voted twice.
Well, at least he voted once for the good one, you know.
No, you can vote for multiples.
Oh, that's a rule you can do. Oh, cool! Yeah. I did not realize this.
Although it looks here like it came in third.
Whatever the fuck you're doing with it now, I don't.
I don't see where.
I want you to know that I was very, very surprised that it came in second.
Oh, and actually, you know what? I need to check who supported me. Oh, Gar. Thanks, Gar.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah, I was
he
actually
also likes Twizzlers.
I was surprised.
I thought that I would get more.
Yeah, Brandon, I was really surprised you didn't get that many votes. I was
shocked. So I think a lot of it is popcorn because we specifically said movie snacks. So popcorn's obviously huge because a lot of people only eat popcorn in movies. Because, like, popcorn and Snickers, how did that win? That makes no sense.
Snickers carried me
Jelly Bellies, I'll give you. Jelly Bellies are good. Yeah. No, I don't think it was Snickers. I think it was nobody eats Snickers. Like, Snickers is, like, the number one candy bar that no one buys.
But, really?
Okay. Yeah, because if you actually go to a store that has a selection to buy candy bars, no one buys a Snickers. They just put them in vending machines. So they're the best option.
Oh.
Like, there's 10 candy bars better than a Snickers, nobody would vote Snickers number one, in my opinion.
I'm the one, I guess.
I would like to redact. So, I really just threw cotton candy in there because I like cotton candy, but I don't eat it a lot, and really, I don't like chocolate is a big thing. I totally spaced, though, and Nigel called me on it, Reese's Pieces. If I had picked Reese's Pieces, I would have won, I think. Because I would have Twizzlers, Reese's Pieces, and Nerds. Oh, man. I would have crushed it. But I just blanked that Reese's Pieces existed. All right, let's get to it. This week, we're going to have Jeremy first. Jeremy, what is your number one all-time favorite comic strip?
Far Side.
I'm going to assume that's a thing.
I love how the incredulity of all of your responses for this, Brandon.
Well, it's Jeremy. This could be a fucking bar of soap. I can put anything in there.
The Far Side's strong.
All right, next up we got Aaron.
Calvin and Hobbes.
Oh, that makes me sad. That's my flagship. It makes me sad that you picked it, I mean. It makes me happy that somebody did.
Way to take pleasure in my...
All right, Parker. We got two picks for you.
Okay. I'm going to go with my current favorite one that's brand new on the internet. It's called Strange Planet. I really like Strange Planet. You guys have probably seen it before. It's the one where the aliens, like, just talk about regular everyday stuff, but they use vocabulary that's outrageous and fun. Strange Planet. And the next one I'm actually going to go with is probably... I'm going to go with the newspaper one. Let's go with Pearls Before Swine. I was always a fan of Pearls Before Swine.
Alrighty. Aaron, second pick.
Beetle Bailey.
Is that like Beetleborgs?
Beetlebailey.
It's about a man in the military.
It is. Tried to live up to his example all 24 and a half years.
Nice.
It was like a low bar. I managed to tap it over.
The point is that he's just like a really low ranking member of the military, and he's always trying to be as lazy absolutely as possible. That's the joke.
Gotcha.
Is that the military is always trying to get him to do things that he's actually very competent, but he chooses not to do anything if he possibly can avoid it.
Alrighty. Jeremy, your final two picks.
Oh my god, I have to do two?
Hmm?
Because the Peanuts are just classic, and they have an amazing Halloween and Christmas episodes. We'll go with that. And I'm trying to... What was the one that was the 40K one that's online?
Turn Signals on a Land Raider?
Yep. That one was always funny. I like that one.
I don't know how you picked literally the one webcomic I'm aware of.
Man, I'm... Look at that. He knew a webcomic.
I just don't like it. It's fine. It's got some cute things I've seen, but I don't read it.
No, I don't either anymore.
The only one I've seen... I remember anyway, was because for people who don't know, the premise is it follows a army of space marines, and it's like the models, not like an actual regiment. And so it's this kid, it's like Toy Story kind of, where it's like his models like talk to each other and stuff when he's not around. And so his custom chapter he invented is the Emperor's Pointy Sticks. And so they all have like wooden spears that they fight with. And so he's priming his Land Raider. So he primes it black, and then he, like, starts painting it, and then it's like, wait a second, aren't, like, Land Raiders for this chapter supposed to be red? And then the guy reprimes it red, because he forgot what color his paint scheme was. It was pretty funny. Anyway, Aaron, you're up.
Hagar the Horrible. And I sent it to you in the podcast channel, so you have the umlauts on the A.
I'm not putting that in.
Put that shit in.
Fuck that.
That was a fun one.
I like how you're already judging picks. You don't get a judge. That's for the listenership.
What are you talking about?
Parker's like, that was a good one.
Oh.
I have a comment. I remember Hagar the Horrible.
You're not allowed to comment.
It's very much the same feel of like
Beetle Bailey. You just lost a pick. All right.
Why?
Penalty.
This has never been a rule.
Desagulation.
You can make comments.
Desaturation.
Right. Can I give you shit for making comments though?
Yep.
No.
Okay.
Double desaturation.
Rejected. Right. If there was a rule against not giving me shit, then I don't know how that we can have this podcast.
There was, and then you got a probationary episode, and ever since then it's been revoked.
Yeah.
Alright, so we got Parker, your third pick.
Alright, I have to go for this one because it has the most interesting comic ever, and that's Cyanide and Happiness.
That's the one I was trying to think of. Good job.
And the reason why I think they have, I don't know if anyone's ever used their random comic generator. They just made hundreds of panels, and you can just hit a generator and it will just fill a 3-panel comic with 3 random things. And I don't think I've ever laughed so hard as just watching a random comic generator give me stuff. That's how good Cyanide and Happiness is. They don't even have to write the comic for you. You just hit the button enough times and you will just start to cry. They're so funny. So that is one of the reasons why I think those guys, it might be the pinnacle of comic genius that's how good they are. You could use a random number generator using their material, and it's wonderful.
All right, cool. We used both of the comics I'm aware of, so there you go.
You have good awareness taste? Is that what that is?
I don't know. I don't know what that's supposed to mean.
You've noticed two things, is what I'll
say. I've been exposed to two things.
You noticed two things.
I had exposure. I used to be the young kid at the game store because I started hanging out at the game store. But I went from zero exposure to gaming at all in any way to basically living at the game store in a 3-month period. And so I was immersed in all this stuff. And so I've learned a lot since that time. But anything before that, I only know about it if somebody told me because I didn't have internet. I didn't have any of that stuff. So I just went from basically living in a basement to being involved in gaming, because as soon as I saw, I was like, wait, there's cool stuff in the world? Because I went from living in Monon, Indiana, population 418, to which we live 7 miles outside town, so there was not a lot. And so we didn't have radio, we didn't have internet, we didn't have a radio station. You could not turn on the radio in your car, it was just static. And so it was nothing. And so we went from that to the internet, basically. So it was crazy. I didn't know that I liked music until I was 19.
That's
because
that's actually not that unusual.
No, like I had never heard anything but Backstreet Boys, because all the only CDs my sister ever bought, and I didn't know about music, and so I never bought CDs, and so all I would listen to all day was boy bands, and I was like, oh my god, I fucking hate this. And so I didn't get exposed to music until I was literally 19, and so I just am kind of like head under a rock in a lot of these situations.
Well, I could tell you that I try to tell my students all the time when they like, I like this kind of music. I go, no, you don't. They go, what do you mean? I was like, you've bought maybe that kind of music? Like you've wandered into it. Yeah, you won't know what
kind of music you like until you're like 25.
Yeah, you have no idea what music you really appreciate. You don't know anything about what you do.
Well, I think there's always going to be that sweet spot where you can look back at it fondly, even if you don't listen to it anymore.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, it's just not going to be like the thing you turn on, and like you might identify as liking it, but not, you don't really listen to it. So
also, you know, music production is such that they're trying to, you know, target young people specifically. Mm-hmm. That's why anybody who tells me like, you know, a band that I like if they're 13, I said, I really like, you know, Led Zeppelin. I go, okay, so you're actually listening to this, because Led Zeppelin did not write those songs for you, right? No, yeah. So you actually are listening to the music, and you're curious about music production.
Yeah,
and music.
It's like the top 40 or top 100 stuff where it's just like regurgitated, right, and like overlooped and stuff, and
right,
it's just the same beat over and over and over again,
right,
and the same lyric.
It's designed like to appeal to
anyone. That's
meant
to get your attention.
Yeah.
It's flash in a pan entertainment, and it's really good for a short period of time.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of bands that make their living on that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys excited for the tournament this weekend?
I am so excited. I am really excited because this will be our teammates Colin first team tournament, and we are going to make this just the absolute best time.
The bee's knees, if you will.
It's going to be so much fun.
There's going to be so many knees.
I anticipate Jeremy is going to have at least one meltdown, and we're going to appreciate it. It's going to be wonderful to watch.
I do not melt down.
Parker, I honestly feel bad for you because you missed the ultimate meltdown. I even think Aaron missed it. I think Aaron was talking to, what's it, Cookie? I think he was talking to Cookie at the time.
I have never.
And
never.
I couldn't even believe what was happening. I honestly almost ran to get somebody to call emergency services. I thought Jeremy was actually having a stroke.
I
like,
thought
it was so beyond
going
real.
To rape me.
He just lost it. He just had to relieve the stress that had been building within him. And he just goes into this manic rant about how he's been getting fucked in the ass all day. And he starts miming, jerking people off, and bends over and starts pointing at his butt. He's just like jumping up and down. I was like, what is happening? It was magical. I don't even know what happened. It happened so quick, too. I was standing there, and I like look at Aaron England, and he just looks at me like, does he do this a lot? I'm like, no. Jeremy is not like this. Oh, it was so great.
I think one of us is going to have those moments. I think either I'm going to have my dig in my nails into the table and slowly rake sand off using my fingernails, or you're going to point at your butt and let everyone know how much you've been. But
I don't think you can get to that point without the stakes, right? Like there's always stakes when those things happen. Like you're true, so in the moment. Like this is just gonna be a casual tournament. Like we're at WTC and Jeremy has just been taking it all weekend.
Yeah.
Like, and then Parker just like I don't know how many tough roles you could watch before you just want to stab children.
If there'd have been a puppy in front of me at that moment, I think
he would have just punted it.
There'd be
a river.
One less puppy. Yes, I think I would. That
I'm in a very different state. I'm playing this game as a game. It doesn't define me. Having a secondary game, I can't tell you how good that is for your soul. Mm-hmm. Just having one game,
fortitude.
Yeah. Well, just having one game and kind of like hanging your hobby, time and everything on it is a lot. So spreading that out has been very healthy for me. With Judgment.
So would you say that getting railroaded by CGR defines who you are as a gamer?
It did at the time, and I was a fucked pile of goo, as they would call it. And that's what I felt like.
Okay. Then I take it back. None of us will have a mental breakdown. It's just going to be...
You don't know Colin that well. He might.
That's true.
I don't know Colin that well, but I think...
That's what I'm saying. You're making a lot of assumptions.
I'm predicting
Colin,
between...
I've never seen Colin get that upset. I think he'll be fine.
Between you and I and our very sunny disposition, I think we're going to be just fine. That's my point.
Whoa, killer.
I'm all for
sunny
watching
disposition.
One of you guys fly off the handle, though. I'm all for it at this point. I'm going to video it.
It's not going to be me. I might put someone in their place. Like, that's not going to stop. But as for me and my attitude, I definitely don't. I don't put the weight in it that I did at one time.
Cool.
It's fine.
Alrighty. Anybody want to chat about anything else?
I want to know what Aaron is playing at Blood Bowl. I want to know what team he's playing.
Oh yeah, I was going to ask him that.
When he's not playing and having fun with his friends,
well, first
he's
off,
playing with
what,
other people.
What? Vague rundown of the format. Is it just pretty standard?
So I'm playing in a Friday. I'm playing in a Friday night tournament that is the most fucked up Blood Bowl rule set you could ever imagine.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Almost
I wanted
double
to play in that. I'm not going to be able to.
Yeah. Without going into specifics. It's like if you could play with 40 threat in Marvel.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
It's borked.
Maybe 35.
Sure, whatever. The other tournament I'm driving to on Saturday is the same kind of format. Like, you can take anything you want, but it's significantly less. The points are a lot less. So for the first tournament on Friday, I'm bringing Amazons. And the tournament on Saturday, I'm bringing Vampires.
Ooh, you doing Vampires again?
Yep. Ooh, spicy.
He's trying to play the broken thing. I knew it.
Have you met me? Yeah. Although I do play a lot of random shit that's not competitive, so I don't know.
Yeah. Say, normally you're pretty all over the place, but I...
Sure. Well, Vampires with a lot of money, they could break things, right? Like, that's something they could do.
Oh, well, he's playing them in the normal event. He's playing Amazons in the fuck-busted one.
Oh.
Yes. Okay. So, do you know about Blood Bowl and the skills and whatnot,
oh, yeah.
Parker?
Yeah,
so, I'm playing Amazons, and my Amazon team has two of the best star players in the game. Okay. Every single model has block and plus armor.
Oh, damn.
And since they're Amazons, don't they all have dodge?
They all start with dodge. Yes.
Yeah, so he's block, dodge, armor on everybody.
That's the thing.
And then
Amazons,
also two
yeah.
big star players.
And then five other models have an additional skill, whether it's guard, tackle, frenzy. Hmm. I'm
God,
telling you, it is
that's so
stupid.
Much money on regular people.
That's pretty dumb.
They're just mortal girls. Like they're not meant to be superheroes.
So that tells... Is that, to your mind, I know you like to have fun, but is that, to your mind, one of the silliest ways to use this much resources in the game? Or is this, like, just one of many?
One of many. I didn't even take, like, one person is going to bring Dark Elves and give them all plus one strength.
Yeah.
Wow.
A strength team with
that's something
Dark
you
Elves.
Can do with that much. Holy crud.
It's I'm telling so you, whatever you want to do in the game, done. It's just done.
Yeah. Well, because if you think about Blood Bowl, the majority of the cost of the models is the model. And then, like, the skills and stuff you add on is, like, 20 or 40k each. But, like, some of these models you're buying are, like, 100, 120,000 gold on their own. Mm-hmm. And so you're doubling the investment. So, but you can still only have the same number of people, really. It's so, like, you could buy some extras, but you're literally just doubling their value. Yeah. And so you're giving them each 3-4 upgrades. And it's just... goes crazy.
Most tournaments you build your team and then you get to spend about 150,000 gold on your skills. For this tournament, you build your team and get to spend about 1 million on your skills.
Mm-hmm. Jesus.
Yeah.
It's fucking stupid. So it's I did not spend a whole lot of time trying to min-max or find the scene that's the quote-unquote best. I'm like, nope, we're just going to put 11 blodgers on the pitch and see what happens.
I'm going to play Tomb Kings, or sorry, Khemri. I think it's Tomb Kings. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they're called.
I call them Khemri.
The four Tomb Kings, the four Tomb Guardians, and then two Giants.
Like, yep.
Get them.
Absolutely.
fucking stupid.
It would be hilariously horrible to play and play against, yes.
Yeah, because you don't have the stupid, and you don't have strength two guys, you have strength three guys. And so you might even have money left to actually upgrade the regular skeletons. Who cares?
So the only reason I'm going is because Ryan Jarvis is putting this tournament on. And he built it this way because he thought he'd get like four people. And he just wanted people to come have fun. There's going to be more than four. And I was like, okay, Ryan, all those friend points you have, they're being burned in a in an ashtray right now. Those are your friend points expiring as I come to your tournament. So I'm only going because he's putting it on. I want to help him out. But Ryan's I told him, people. Yeah, if he puts on another one, it needs to be somewhat significantly more realistic in terms of
so the build. The ironic part here is he literally just copy and pasted the tournament packet that Aaron made.
That is not true. He copied like the first three sentences of my tournament packet and discarded the rest.
No, he said he copy and pasted yours. He just made some minor tweaks. Yeah,
exactly.
if you think about it, tripling the value of your team is a minor tweak. It's one line of text.
Whatever.
Anyway, so that's what we give a shit for, is Aaron wrote the format, is what we're going with. Alrighty. Well, I'll see you guys tomorrow. Thanks for chatting. Mm-hmm. Good night. Good night.
Night.
Good night.